Well, good morning, everybody. This is Lenny Lawson, and we're so glad that Ewens have decided to listen. Now, if you happen to be from the North, the Norte, or the West, I can't remember what West is in Spanish, but maybe the Far East, Northeast, you may not know what Ewens means, but that is the plural of, let's say, you guys. That's like saying, you know, you when there's more than one. So we say Ewens. Now, I've actually heard people say theyans too, but I don't think that's widely used. But anyway, here we are in East Tennessee at the studios of Gateway Ford and Gateway Nissan in Greenville, Tennessee. And we're broadcasting live this program called My Car Guru by Lenny Lawson, a real-life new car dealer with a twist. He tells it like it is. See, I've got that down pat. Now, I am in a weird state of mind. Yesterday was a holiday, of course. It was Labor Day or no Labor Day to celebrate the people who work for a living. And there are a lot of people who don't work and who and many of which don't want to work. And I heard that they may not have to for long, according to most recent reports on the news, is there's a huge effort. Artificial intelligence, which I thought that already existed. But apparently, because I saw a movie many years ago by Steven Spielberg that was called AI, or artificial intelligence. But apparently, it's never been put into practical use until the last 10 years or so. And so that is the big push to be able to get cars to be able to recognize road signs and, you know, pedestrians and things like that. Pretty important to be able to recognize a pedestrian. But anyway, so that we can have a self-driving world, so that you can read your Wall Street Journal as you're going down the road, even if you're in the driver's seat, and ignore the steering wheel, the brake, and the gas pedal. So that is the idea. But also, for those people who don't want to work, robots that will do pretty much everything you can do if it's a rudimentary task. If you are working on an assembly line, there will be robots that will do that. So you won't have to work on the assembly line anymore. Anything that is repetitive, they are saying that it, you know, as far as those kind of jobs are concerned, you will be replaced and unemployed. So what does that mean? Well, I guess we have to borrow more money from the Chinese so that we can afford to pay people to stay home and do nothing. Because if you don't have a job that involves thinking or processing information, reacting on a human level, then you are out of luck. That's what they're telling us. So anyway, I don't buy it. Is this the death of the deal? Well, if the big manufacturers get their way, I would say yes. You know, Elon Musk, heard of him. Tesla, they eliminated the new car dealership from their model. So basically, you've got a manufacturer who is selling vehicles direct to the public online. Now, if you're driving a Tesla right now, you're saying, well, that's really cool, and I don't need a car dealer to be able to do it until you need service, and then you need a car dealer. And then you have to wait to get somebody to come in a truck and fix your vehicle in your driveway. If you're dead in the water, then I guess they'll rent you one, kind of like Ford and GM and Toyota and all of them do. But the whole idea is that you don't have to have new car dealers. You can just go straight to the public. That's what Carvana, that's what they're doing with the used car model. Traditionally, you would have mom-and-pop used car lots all up and down the highways, in addition to new car dealers trading for used cars and selling them to the public. And now you've got companies like CarMax, Carvana, Vroom, I think that's one of them, that will basically sell you a used car and deliver it to your house. So there's a lot of that kind of service being offered by the big box stores that are totally online. But, you know, car dealers have been doing that kind of stuff for years. I remember in 1996, I got a call from my uncle who lived in Bristol, and he said he had some folks that he had done a lot of business with over the years. He bought his corn from them. He bought corn in order to feed his menagerie of animals that he had. But anyway, he was aware of the fact that they needed a new three-quarter ton pickup truck, and they wanted a four-wheel drive, and he wanted a Chevrolet. So I was a Chevrolet dealer back then, so the opportunity was there for me to go to Bristol and took the vehicle up there and showed it to him and sold it to him right there on their dinner table. So it's not rare for people to, or for car dealers to deliver vehicles, to sell things online. We do it every day. I would say at least 90% of our sales are due to somebody or the result of somebody going online first and checking things and also submitting what we call an internet lead. And so that is the primary way people get to us. It wasn't that way 35 years ago or 43 years ago when I got into the car business. Pretty much all business was local. It's not local anymore. People come from everywhere. And so now it's a little bit more difficult because inventories are low, and the chip shortage is having an impact, but we're still getting stuff in and selling it pretty much as quickly as we get it. We just got a load of the new Nissan Frontiers, which, you know, Nissan had been riding that 2005 design for a long time. So 2005, this is 2021, that's a long time for basically the same basic body style. They've changed the some of the technology on the vehicle, or a lot of it. And even the last year, they installed the all-new engine and transmission, which is a 9-speed automatic, which performs extremely well and let us, I guess that was kind of to try things out for a while because they wanted to get this right. And so we've got the new Nissan Frontier, and it looks totally different because it is. And so all kinds of other things, like the new Pathfinder is all new this year. We've got a lot of stuff coming in that's brand new. We just sold a new Bronco Sport the other day. That, you know, as soon as it comes off the truck, we put it in through the what we call the pre-delivery process, pull all the plastic off it, you know, and clean it up and make sure it has all its fluids and air up the tires with nitrogen, then send it to the cleanup shop. Before it comes out of the cleanup shop, it's sold. This isn't just happening to me. It's happening to every dealer in the market. So I tell you what, another thing that's really, really exciting is the new Maverick. Now, do you guys remember the old Ford Maverick? It was a little pointy-nosed fastback car. They made in two- and four-door designs that, you know, it was a decent seller, but not a great seller. Chevy competed with it with the Chevy Nova, and it was kind of a, well, today you would probably call it a compact car, but by those standards, it was just below mid-sized. And the Maverick failed, ultimately, and was replaced by the Granada, which also failed. But anyway, we've got the new Maverick is not a car. The Maverick is now a truck. Now, a lot of the young people that are, a lot of the people that will be buying that vehicle never heard of the old Maverick. They think this is just something that is a takeoff from a Mel Gibson movie or James Garner, for a matter. No, they'd be too young to remember James Garner. But anyway, he was a better Maverick, I thought. But Mel Gibson did a pretty good job. I'm getting sidetracked. The Maverick is a truck built in Mexico. It's the only bad thing. And but the quality is really good. That's where a lot of Fords and Hondas and Toyotas and stuff are built in Mexico. Cheaper labor. But anyway, the Maverick is a the smallest truck on the market. Now, Hyundai has come out with the Santa Cruz. Have you seen it? Very swoopy. When I say swoopy, do you guys know what I mean? I mean curvaceous, curvy lines, not boxy, the opposite of boxy. Very curvy, and it looks like it'd be aerodynamic, but it's really not that aerodynamic. It has a very small bed. Looks more like a Subaru Brat. Well, the Maverick is not that. Ford went traditional. It's boxy. It's the same basic chassis as the new Bronco Sport, which people still get confused with the new Bronco, which the Bronco, you know, and I understand getting confused about it because it says Bronco on the front. Why didn't they put Bronco Sport? No idea. But people get confused. They always do, and they always will. But the Maverick is really a great surprise to us. We knew it was coming. We just didn't know it was going to sell like it is. And we've got already 25 sold orders for Mavericks. And folks, if you are interested in a new car, regardless of brand, I mean, I'd love for you to come and buy a new Ford or a Nissan for me. But if you're a Toyota guy or gal, or you know, you want something else, best thing to do is just to go in and sit down with a salesperson and order it. Now, that is if they don't have something on the lot that you want. So right now with the chip shortage, it's best just to go ahead and get in line. Now, they're probably going to require you to pay a deposit. Just make sure that it's refundable, because they may press you on that, but all you have to say, listen, you don't know how long this chip shortage is going to go on, and neither do I. And my trade-in could potentially go down in value, and the numbers that we're talking about right now, or could go up in value. The numbers that we're talking about now are acceptable, but I don't know what it's going to be like then. So, you know, you're either going to order this thing for me, and I'll put a refundable deposit on it, or I'll go someplace else. So anyway, that's my strategy, and maybe that will help you if you're getting ready to get a new vehicle or you want one sometime in the next year. So anyway, we'll take our first break and be back here in just a minute. Folks, I have kind of steered clear the last little while about talking about Tim Cable and the battle that he's been facing with COVID. And I know they've talked about it on the radio station, but I just you all know how much this is hurting me. And, you know, when you spend 2.5 hours a week with somebody just talking back and forth, you get pretty close over a period of time. You know, at first when I met Tim, I knew who he was because I'd watched him on cable country for many years and saw him on the news on CYB and WJHL. But, you know, I got to know him as a person. His wife was basically my main commercial shooter, for lack of a better word. And she got to where we could pretty much, she could read my mind and I could read hers. She knew exactly what I wanted and the look I wanted on my commercials, and she provided that. But they're big into antiques and you know, they not only buy, but they sell. They go to all kinds of events. And Tim is just a lover of people. And we've had so many good discussions and over business and things like that. And he's so easy to talk to. And I just pray, along with you, that Tim will recover from this. And, you know, it's a battle. So anyway, I do want to get into an automotive topic that is misunderstood a little bit. And that's the difference between balancing tires and alignments. I've had a lot of people come in and say, my car is pulling. I think I need to have my tires balanced. Or my tires are vibrating. I think I need to have an alignment. Now, both of those are incorrect diagnoses, okay? Both of them are wrong. If your tires, if your vehicle is pulling to one direction or another, and by that I mean not when you if you take your hands off the steering wheel just lightly, you know, not too far, don't go to sleep or anything, but if you just remove your hands and the car gradually, now I'm talking about on a straightaway, maybe on a four-lane highway, interstate or whatever, the car gradually drifts to the right. That's normal. If it pulls dramatically to the right or to the left, then you've got a problem. On most highways, if it is pulling to the left at all, even if it's gradual, since most roads are basically designed to shed water to the right, then in those different scenarios, you have an alignment problem, and you need to get a four-wheel computerized alignment. Now, who can do that? Well, any new car dealership can. Any type of tire store can. And some independent shops have four-wheel alignment machines that can do that as well. What should you pay for that? $50 to $100 is not uncommon. An alignment, $100 is probably a little high, probably $60, $70 for a four-wheel alignment. Most people get those done when they get new tires, even though they don't need it. It's because the service center wants to sell it to them. I recommend that if you see any kind of unusual tire wear, now that could be, you know, caused by multiple different things. It could, if you have an older car, it could be because components are worn out. But if it's a late model car, fairly new, you know, 3 years or younger, then you know, you could have, if you see any type of wear on the inside edge or the outside edge of your tire, especially and on the front, then you're going to have the need for a tire alignment. You know, if your tires are wearing in the center, more than likely you have a situation where you have too much air in your tires, because the center section is going to wear out quicker if it's overinflated. Underinflated, it's going to wear on the both outside edges at the same time. If it's just wearing on the inside or the outside, then there's an alignment issue. If you drive a front-wheel drive car, do you know it? If you drive an all-wheel drive car, do you know it? A lot of people don't. If you have a front-wheel drive car, probably 60% of the weight is over your front wheels. And also, they are doing all of the steering, most of the braking, and all of the power is being transferred from the engine to the front tires. And that's a lot to be called on to do. So anyway, one of the reasons that tires wear out quicker on the front is simply because they are front-wheel drive and you're not rotating your tires often enough. My recommendation has always been to change your oil every 5,000 miles. Well, no, I take that back. It's not always been my recommendation. But in the last 10 years, it is. And I say that because every time you get your oil changed at 5,000 miles, you should have your tires rotated at the same time. And then you don't have to remember anything. I used to say every 3,000 miles on an oil change, every 6,000 miles on a tire rotation. But tires last longer, oil lasts longer, so I just made a compromise with myself. I said, self, let's compromise, and let's go 5,000 miles. Now, that's semi-scientific, but if you look at the recommendations from the manufacturer, they say, well, you don't have to change your oil every 7,500 miles or maybe 10,000 miles. But that's under ideal circumstances without lots of temperature variations. Do we have temperature variations in East Tennessee? Yes, we do. They go from cool mornings to hot afternoons, and then, you know, you just never know about this weather. We have a lot of dust and dirt in the air and stuff, so just change your oil every 5,000 miles. If anybody tells you you need to do it more often than that, they're full of it. If they tell you can go longer than that on a tire rotation, yeah, maybe you can, but gosh, you got to check those air pressures too. But anyway, a four-wheel alignment is going to solve your pulling problem. You know, if you hit your brakes and you feel a tugging on the steering wheel, could be an alignment problem, could be a braking issue. Many times I've seen that as a result of an alignment issue. But you need to get that and your brakes checked at the same time. If you have that kind of situation, don't put it off, because you're just going to wear out your tires. You know, tires are expensive. Brakes are expensive. You may have a minor issue that can be solved relatively inexpensively. You know, that's what happens to folks, is they put stuff off and it ends up costing a lot more money, like they need rotors all of a sudden instead of just brake pads. Just listen to your car. It's talking to you. You can be a car whisperer. You remember that movie, A Horse Whisperer? Who was that? Robert Redford. Yeah, I like that movie. Anyway, tire balance. If you feel your steering wheel shaking, more than likely, and it's on a, like, again, 3 year and younger car, it's probably a balance issue. Now, the only reason your tires would go out of balance is because it throws a weight. There are, when you balance tires, basically you're making sure that there's no vibration when it's spinning around. And sometimes it'll just occur like from at a certain speed. And all of a sudden, if it's occurring at all speeds over 50 or whatever, you're feeling that vibration. It's probably because one of the weights has fallen off of the car. They use these little stick-on weights. Sometimes they beat on these weights around the rim of the wheel, but mostly they use stick-on weights now. And those stick-on weights will come off, and the ones that are on the rim will come off. And that's what could cause a vibration problem. If you feel a vibration in your seat, you know, your bottom, you will feel it's coming from the rear. All right. If you feel it in the steering wheel and the steering wheel's shaking, then it's coming from the front. But you typically go in and get have all four tires balanced. So, you know, lots of times when you buy new tires, they will balance tires, and typically that should be included. Front end alignments are not typically included when you get new tires, so it's just something for you to think about. Okay, we'll be back in here in just a minute. Okay, so feel a shimmy in the front. Front tires are out of balance. Shimmy in your seat. Rear tires are out of balance. Pulling to the right or left. Unusual tire wear on the outside edge or the inside edge, probably an alignment issue, and you need to make an appointment somewhere to get your get an alignment. Make sure they do a four-wheel alignment. Most cars have independent rear suspensions, and unless they have a solid axle in the back, which is kind of rare these days, then you probably need a four-wheel alignment. But before you do anything, go out in the driveway with your tire pressure gauge, which is in your glove box, remember, and check the air pressure in your tires. Now, if you have a modern car, it may tell you on the dash that your tire pressure is down. But check your tire pressures and make sure they are the same in the front and the rear, and go by the pressure recommendations in your owner's manual, not on the side of the tire. Ignore those numbers. Those numbers do not mean anything to you. As long as you put original equipment tires on your vehicle, or the tires are the same size and everything as what you came with from the factory. Now, if you've jacked it up, put it on a lift kit, all that kind of stuff, then, you know, the manufacturer's recommendations go out the window. But if you have the same size tires, factory tires that came on it, then, you know, go by the recommendation on your door jamb. You'll see the numbers printed there, or in your owner's manual, and you'll be good. You may not even need a front-end alignment. You just need a little air. So that's it for this edition of My Car Guru. We'll see you tomorrow.